And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a fantastic start to their day today. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Doing fine. Nothing.
That's good. Nick Kieser, how we doing? How's life?
I'm good. Finish some of our planning for a couple days away.
Oh boy.
So excited for that.
It's getting real.
Made a playlist, so that's fun.
Wow.
So we're talking honeymoon now?
I guess, if you want to. But
I don't want to go.
No, I didn't say you were going.
Okay.
You just asked.
He's finishing the list up for – we're talking playlist for, like, the wedding, the reception.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, the playlist for the reception.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought you were saying the playlist for the honeymoon.
Meanwhile, you're probably whipping up a good diss for D-Mace, right?
Oh.
A diss track? Diss.
Yeah. No Vaseline.
Could that happen?
No, we don't need to go that. And you know, we don't need to be that severe. But, man.
People are really mad at you.
I know. Don't even know what I said. Not sure other people know what I said.
I don't think J.C. Latham has the body type of a tackle. Doesn't mean he can't play left tackle. But he just looks like a big guy. And now everybody's all over you. All over Jared.
Right.
Lumping you together, which
is
my favorite.
We're going to have to sort that out at some point today. it's enough being lumped in with Jared on various arguments.
There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah, it's quite enough.
We got a lot to get into today on the program. Caroline Fenton will join us for her weekly visit at 7 o'clock. John Glennon at 8 o'clock from the Nashville Post will join us. We'll get into the Titans and the Predators with him. So looking forward to all that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, which as always are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, I was looking at the grid last night, our show grid, of which we spend many hours planning, our pre-show meeting, and it said Joe wants to start on the Admirals in the first segment. And I thought that maybe Nick Kieser had hijacked the grid and put your name in place of it. But nope, it's you. You want to start on the Milwaukee Admirals?
I mean, I feel like we haven't been talking about the Admirals.
We haven't.
Why have we not been covering the Admirals? I see all these people who cover the Preds, follow the Preds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Admirals. It's amazing. I mean, thank goodness the Preds are out of the playoffs.
So we can
get the hell out of the way and people can focus on what really matters, the Milwaukee Admirals. The Admirals are interesting, though, in all seriousness. First of all, they came back from, what, down 2-0 to beat Texas?
In a five-game series.
Five-game series.
They're on the brink of elimination,
And there's a couple things. Wait a minute. I'm looking at this. Nick takes a shot of Jack? What?
Now he has hijacked the grid.
Oh, okay.
I read what you said last night on the grid, and I was just mentally preparing myself, and I was just making a mental note. Not that I would actually do that, but anyway.
So did you take a shot of Jack last night?
No.
That bachelor weekend still hanging over, man.
It says on our grid, for people who don't know or are totally confused right now, but it's the first segment. Nick takes a shot of Jack in preparation
it's
to be
facetious.
Bitched at. Okay. I don't have any complaints about you. I will say, although I see more from Nick in the notes here, that Zach LaRue is
LaRue.
A story you've got later on. So a couple things. Okay, so there you go. So there's two things that I find interesting. One, I do think he's interesting. And two, God dang it, I got to join Jared in another take.
Oh, boy.
But I got to say, you're not going to play Askarov anymore? I mean, I know it's so important that the Admirals win, and so Troy Grosnick gets in there and gets it done, but this isn't about developing players?
I hear you. Now, look, it's playoffs. So, like, when you get to the playoffs, like, Carl Taylor's job right now is to win. So, like, I don't have any problem. Like, if I would be upset if they got through the whole thing and Askarov didn't get back in there, I doubt very seriously that Troy Grosnick is going to win every single game from here on out. So while he's on the heater, I don't mind leaving him in there. But when they lose, I'd put Askarov back in there. That'd be probably the way I'd handle it.
His job is to win?
I mean, they're in the playoffs.
Okay.
I mean, you develop all season long, right?
Uh-huh.
You don't think his job is to win right now?
I mean, of course you want to win right now. You want winning to be part of the routine.
You don't think they're trying to win the Calder Cup down there?
You'd rather win than lose.
Right.
But the minor leagues is about developing players for the big club.
I hear you. And Barry Trotz would tell you a way to do that is to win in the playoffs.
And the most important prospect on that team is not playing.
I hear you.
So, I'm uncomfortable because I did hear Jared griping about it. Now, of course, he takes it too far. Like, Barry Trotz, I'd call him up and fire. You know, it's like, all right. You have to take it too far. But I must say, like, okay, he's on a heater. That's fine. And we don't know all the circumstances of Askarov being taken out. Probably some of his, I guess, overflowing emotion.
Well, he wasn't playing well, and he took a horrendous penalty.
Took a bad penalty. But, like, okay, so if Grossnick stays on a heater? So if they just keep winning, then you're never going to put in the one of the most important people in this entire franchise?
I don't know. Like, what do you think that they should go back to Askarov for game one of the next series? I mean,
yes.
Okay. That's fine.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, Grossnick just won three in a row.
I mean, that's awesome. Good. Thank you, Troy. Good job. I mean, you and
look, I would
Giannis
love to see
and the Brewers bullpen are all very important in Nashville.
I would love to see Askarov back in there. There's no question. I'm just saying, like, I don't know why people are freaking out about this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not freaking out. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like I'd like to see how he responds now to being benched. You know, I'd like to see how he responds
for sure
to the whole situation. I'm good for Troy Grossnick. Okay, no offense to Troy Grossnick, but like whatever he does is just great. Thank you. I mean, good for you, man. And the guys probably rally around him. It's a great feel good story for him. But it's not. It has no impact on the Nashville Predators.
No, there's no doubt about that. It has no impact on the Nashville Predators.
Askarov, good, bad, indifferent, at least being active, does.
I would like to see him back in there. I would like to see him back in there. I'd like to see how he responds. I think people, i.e. Willie, are making way too much of his struggles down the stretch here as to like what that means for the goaltending conversations. Like, he's not ready for next year. Okay. Was he ever going to be ready for next year to be the starting goaltender? I don't know how we've gotten to that being such a big deal and why that's like that's a reason you got to sign a goaltender to a contract. But, you know, I do think there are clearly things that he's got to learn. And the penalty that Askarov took in game, I guess that was two, was funny. But it's not funny like if you're Barry Trotz, and it's not funny if you're Carl Taylor. And like, you can't do stuff like that
sure
in the NHL. So I have no problem with them benching him and trying to get him to learn a lesson from that.
Yep.
Now, at some point, you probably need to put him back in and see how he responds. And the other part of that is, like, I still think he's your best goalie, right? Like, he's better than Troy Grossnick is.
I mean, if not, then I tip my cap to Willie. And the only argument I'd say with Willie is I don't even want him backing up Saros if it's that, if that's the situation.
Right.
It's like, okay, I get the frustration. Again, we don't know all the conversations or all that went on. So I think it's a little bit of a lesson, which is great. But you're going to put the kid, you know, you're just going to just have a seat for, you know, we'll see it. We'll see you next training
year
camp. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not saying you handle him with kid gloves. There is a little bit of a difference, though, with Russian players, right? I mean, in terms of, like, they do have options that maybe players from other countries don't.
Yeah.
You know, in theory. And I don't know. I feel like this is actually a good opportunity to find something out about him.
I can see that. Look, I expect he's going to get back in there at some point in his playoff run.
I'll count on that.
I mean, maybe it's not game one. I expect he's going to be back in there at some point. If he doesn't, then I'm with you. I would be very disappointed by that.
If he
doesn't get back in there at some point during this postseason for them, I would be upset by that. There's no question.
But, hey, I mean, if Troy Grossnick leads him to a Calder Cup, what's the parade route in Nashville?
Well, I mean, they got a lot of your young guys winning a championship at that point. Barry Trotz would take it, probably.
Yeah, including your most important prospect cheering from the bench.
You can watch Troy Grossnick, and you learn what it takes to be a serial winner and a pro at this level. Troy Groznik will tell you. That's what you got to do.
Is he a serial winner?
He could, if he wins a championship, he will be. He'll become one right before our very eyes.
I don't like serial anything in Milwaukee. It just
throws you off a little bit. 615-737-1025, our phone number is 615-737-1025. By the way, Zach in Nashville. I can't wait for Joe and Jared to continue their tour of body-shaming players and look at Cheeto in pads today and say, oh, man, he has the body type of a right corner, not a left cornerback. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah, thank you, Zach. I'll get to this at 745. He looks like a right tackle is stupid commentary. That didn't make any sense. Stupid. He looks like a guard is not stupid commentary, and I'm not saying he's a guard.
People are very mad at you. I'll save it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have more on the Preds coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, you mentioned the Admirals. Zach LaRue, first-round pick of the Nashville Predators, having a heck of a postseason so far down there. And you start to think about, if you're a Predators fan, some potential answers that could be coming from the minor leagues. I think he's certainly on the list. Like, Zach LaRue... I said this the other day. I don't know that the Predators have anybody down there that is going to be like a upper crust elite player. I think Zach LaRue can be a really good player. I think Svechkov has a chance to be a good player. I think Kemmel, we'll see. Kemmel has some elite traits. Now, he's also 20. Like, I think he just turned 20. So I still think he's probably a little bit away, but LaRue is turning some heads down there in the AHL. He's come up with some big goals, especially when they were down 0-2 in the series. He kind of willed them back into that series, and they won. And you're talking about a guy that plays with a lot of edge. There was, in junior, some probably mistakes that he made, some unfortunate decisions that he made in terms of getting suspended and, you know, playing kind of on the edge, those sorts of things. But you could tell that Zach LaRue could be a player that, once he makes it to the NHL, has a chance to become one of those like fan favorite type guys with the way that he plays the game.
Yeah,
Barry Trotz loves him.
Yeah, some Preds fans have thrown the name Brad Marchand out in relation to him, and it's like, well, yeah. I mean, I get the comparison in terms of
– heck of a bar.
Yeah, but I don't. You can't expect that level of player – but maybe you can expect that type of player, right? But maybe he's one of those guys who, like you said, he had some big-time goals in this postseason for the most important postseason run in Nashville, the Milwaukee Admirals postseason run. But seriously, maybe he's one of those guys who you do get some depth scoring out of him, yep. And you get like some sandpaper. And so there's some excitement with that.
He had 19 goals in the regular season, 48 points, 66 games. Like I said, when you're looking down the kind of the pipeline here and you're trying to figure out those next guys, like who can be a part of the group. That's why, like, in some of their unrestricted free agents, I was a little surprised at the end of season press conference to hear Barry Trotz talk the way that he did about some of their guys. Like, to me, and this is just me, like, Kiefer Sherwood is a nice player, and Kiefer Sherwood did some good things for the Predators this year. Like, I think you should be looking to replace Kiefer Sherwood with guys like Zach LaRue, like guys that you have in your pipeline. I think you should be leaving spots open for those guys to go take the job. And if they don't take it, then you can find some other players to plug in there. But like, you know, the Jason Zucker part of this, the Anthony Beauvillier, like bringing guys back, it all sounds great in theory, but the only question I have when you start doing stuff like that is, are you blocking some upward mobility for some of your younger players? Like, this roster has to get younger. It has to. And if it doesn't, you're not going to like the results here the next year or two. Like, you're just not. Like, you've got to find a way to get younger here. And he talked about that later in the press conference. But, like, those two things to me don't really add up. Like, wanting to bring back all the veteran players and also wanting to get younger at the same time. Like, something's got to give there, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, that's why I didn't consider gospel what he said about Soros, because he said, yeah, we want to bring everybody back. We all know you can't. And those two things don't go together. So when you say you want to sign a long-term deal with Soros, it doesn't mean you will. That it'll happen.
Right.
For multiple reasons, it might not happen. But I'm with you. A guy like Sherwood really, really was a heck of a – I mean, just
– Yeah, he played well.
Yeah. But, like, what if you had someone maybe with a little bit more scoring touch who also is on an entry-level deal? That is sort of the idea, right?
Yeah.
And then they can maybe move up or whatever. I mean, it's obviously important to have guys like Sherwood, and a lot of those guys – were very effective this year, you know, especially down the stretch, I think, with a big part of their success. So you can't just dismiss that and say, "Yeah, just put someone else in there." Like, they were effective. But I'm with you. Like, not every one of these young guys, obviously, is going to be in a prominent spot in this lineup, but they should get a chance to be in the lineup somewhere.
Well, and LaRue is a guy, specifically with him, that I feel like can challenge for a spot next year. Like, everybody's talking about Kimmel. Kimmel's not ready. Like, I think Kimmel is really young, and you look at the year that he had. I mean, there was some – every now and then there'd be a flash of, man, what a shot, or what a play he made out there. It was really good to see. But overall, like, the production would tell you that he still needs some more time in the minors. Like, he ended up with 16 goals, 41 points, 67 games. It's not bad. But at, like, 20 years old, I could see him probably needing some more time next year in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So, like, LaRue is a more realistic, I think, threat to make the team out of camp next year would be the way I would put it.
That makes sense. Yeah, like, Evangelista, some would want to make the comparison of, like, Kemmel next year with Evangelista this year. I think there's another year probably. Like, Kemmel could be, like, a call-up next year.
Agreed, yeah.
And then, hopefully for the Preds, he would follow a similar trajectory.
Yeah. Like, and then there's the, you know, the other two, like Parsonen. Is he making the team out of camp? Tomasino. Is he making the team out of camp? Like, there's a lot of guys fighting for not very many spots right now. Like, especially if you brought back a Sherwood. Well, how many spots you got? Like, there's not very many spots left.
Wasn't it essentially Sherwood who 2 years ago beat Tomasino out for a spot, right? Yeah. And that basically what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing,
starting
though. It's like, here
six.
You go. Yeah, yeah. And people were mad, and I understand. But that's the thing. It's just such a huge summer certainly for Tomasino. Because that's another thing with, like, what was said at that presser that bothers me a little bit. Like, how some people, well, and Jared's one of them, took it as, well, Brunette said he's done with Tomasino. Yeah. All right. No, he challenged him. Now, I have no idea if Tomasino can respond to that. He certainly made it clear that, like, either he responds or then
he's not going to play.
Right. Yeah. He's not going to play. But the first part of the quote was they, like, expressing belief and, you know, some positivity about him. It's a challenge.
It's a challenge. And look, the whole roster right now, like, they're in a really interesting spot because, I mean, they did score. This is one of the best offensive teams in the history of the franchise. A lot of that is due to Nyquist being amazing. Forsberg scoring 48 goals. Yossi put up over 80 points. And then O'Reilly playing really well. Like, they got some scoring beyond that, but not anywhere that was overly consistent. So I think you can look at it and say, well, we were a great offensive team last year, best offensive team maybe in the history of the franchise. It's like, well, yes, but, like, you have to add to it. Like, you can't just assume that next year, well, Gus Nyquist had 75 points last year, so he's going to come back and do that again. Philip Forsberg, by the way, stayed healthy all 82 games, played, scored 48 goals. He's going to do that again. Ryan O'Reilly played all 82 games, healthy, and is going to do that again. Like, you got to I think there's got to be some recognition here that you've got to find whatever that next wave is of some secondary scoring. Your young guys, to me, have got to be a part of it. Like, you've got to find some – you got to identify some guys in your system right now beyond whatever you do in free agency. But you've got to identify some guys in your system right now that could come supplement that next year.
Right. And that's probably part of the Brunette quote about might get bumpy next year.
Yeah.
It's like you can't expect that. You can't count on that again. So where's the compensation coming from? When that inevitably somebody gets hurt more, or maybe Nyquist gets moved or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way, I think there's no way that you're going to get the exact same level of production from those three guys.
It would be very difficult. Now, Forsberg, like, look, if Forsberg stays healthy, that's right around what Forsberg is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, maybe it's not 48 goals, maybe it's 42, maybe it's 40. You know, maybe instead of 90 points, it's 85. That's what he is. Like, if he can stay healthy, I think that's the player that he's developed into. Nyquist at age 35 is the one where it's like, all right, it was great. He deserves all the credit in the world for playing the way he did. He was a perfect fit with those two guys. At age 35, is he going to be able to do that again? Like, when he's never done it before in his career, that's the one where it's got to be like, all right, there's got to be a little bit of realism, I think, heading into that next year. Mike from Nashville on the text line says, this is the same issue when Poyle was general manager and Trotz was head coach. A roster full of roster fillers and a farm system full of more roster fillers. We'll see.
That's a little bit pessimistic.
The one thing I will say is, I mean, they do have a ton of first-round picks down there right now, from Kimmel to Svechkov to LaRue, Tomasino. They got a lot of first-round – Oskarov. A lot of first-round picks down there right now. And you would hope – and it's not going to be all of those guys, I can tell you right now. Not all those guys are going to be like impactful players for your roster. But could you get two of them? Could you get three of them to be maybe not superstar players, but really impactful pieces on your roster? And can that happen sometime in the next year, 2 years? That would be ideal for the Predators. They need some of that beyond the current draft picks that they have coming up.
Yeah, so maybe LaRue is the guy who kind of passes some of these guys like Tomasino and Parson and carves out a role. That'd be a good story for the Preds to have someone like that, because I'm not saying Tomasino and Parson can't become much better players. I definitely buy into when you're that young, you can get better. But I also, you know, I go back to Elie Tolvanen, and there was a little bit of how much did he really change as a player over 3 years?
Right.
Not a ton, you know?
Well, and I think it's fair to call this season a disappointment for Parson and Tomasino, right?
Yeah.
Like, they started with the team.
I mean, Parson starts on the top line.
Yeah, they did not finish with the team. And both of them, to varying degrees, have gone down to Milwaukee and have played well. So it's not like they just phoned it in when they got down there. So that's good. Like, I would hope that would be the case. But you would hope that they figured things out a little bit quicker. And, I mean, you know, it feels like we've been having this conversation about Tomasino for like 3 years. So
yeah.
At some point, it's got to turn into something, or you got to move on.
I mean, there's definitely some Tolvanen shades with him.
A little bit.
It comes to mind a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Preds coming up next. We'll also get back into the goalie gate that Willie Donat keeps bringing out charts and numbers and
he's sending flow sheets, another text,
all this other stuff. We'll get more into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp on the road. Pregame at 5:50, first pitch at 6:05. Coverage available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. One of the best names in sports.
That's a very good name. UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs is better, but pretty good.
It's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The UC Soros discussion still alive and well. Willie has brought to our attention over the weekend several different sheets that he's filled out. Apparently he filled out another one yesterday, but he never really sent it to us. That's okay. He talked about it on the radio. I was listening. So there's the first-round draft pick part of this where, you know, Oskarov, obviously a first-round pick by the Predators. You look around the league, there's not a ton of first-round picks at goalie that are playing right now. I think the number is 5, if I remember correctly from Willie. There are 6 undrafted free agents. Now, part of that is teams don't really draft goaltenders in the first round. Like, it very, very rarely happens. Like, it doesn't happen very often. So there's that you got to factor into as well. But the Predators did. Some other teams have too. You know, obviously, you know, Vasilevsky was a first-round pick. Marc-Andre Fleury, first-round pick. I think Jake Ottinger was a first-round pick. So it happens. But it's not a very common thing that takes place. And then there's the other part of this as well that Willie was talking about, the salary cap. So let's say UC Saros signs an 8-year deal worth $8 million per season. That would be less percentage of the cap than the deal that Pekka signed back in 2011 when he signed a 7-year deal worth $7 million per season. I think when Pekka signed that deal, it was roughly 11% of the cap. And based on where the cap is right now, Saros would be like around 8 or something like that. And then it would conceivably go down as you move forward there from there. So what do you make of that part of it in terms of the percentage of the cap, assuming that it's 8 years, $8 million, and that's just kind of the ballpark figure? What do you make of that part of it? If that's the way things go here for Saros, do you feel better about it since it's a less percentage of the cap than Pekka took up back in the day?
Yeah. It was Pekka's – it's not a huge difference. Was Pekka's deal at the time, was that the biggest goalie deal when he signed it?
I think so, but I'd have to go back and
still
look.
Still, that's not a great inflation rate, you know, for – like who's tops now? What's Vasilevsky?
He's 9.5 per year.
He's 9.5. That tops?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great inflation for players in this league, and I know that, like, COVID tripped it up and stuff like that, but still.
It's kind of gone. It's – nobody signed that Shea Weber contract anymore either. Like, the contracts are a little bit different now. It's tough to find. Yep.
So, yeah, sure. It's a little less of the cap. That's fine. There's still a lot of other things you could do with that, you know, obviously. It's like, if you have an Askarov, if he's good, if he's up to it soon, maybe not. Maybe he'll never play again in Milwaukee. I mean, I don't know. Got to win that Calder Cup. But Troy Grosnick, I'll deliver it to you. I don't know why Grosnick has to take shots.
He's strays from you this morning.
Yeah, I know. I have nothing against Troy Grosnick. Although, I'm saying Grosnick and you're saying Grosnick. You confident?
I think it's Grosnick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I apologize. Saying his name wrong and taking unnecessary shots at him. But if Askarov is the guy you think he is, that's the whole thing. It's okay. You can have that, and you can have a backup, and then sure, the $8 million AAV is less of a percentage of the cap than it would have been or used to be, and the cap's going up and all that. But okay, take that to the scenario with that low level of pay for goaltenders, and what can you do with the rest of your roster?
Yep.
Feels to me like every dollar matters in this league with a hard cap.
The one thing that I think we got to get past, and John in Thompson Station brings this up, says Willie keeps making the debate Saros versus Askarov. I think the argument is that you want to be locked into Saros for 8 years at $8 million instead of using that money on forwards.
Right.
I would prefer Lankinen or another veteran and Askarov or Grosnick as backup. Get more Troy Grosnick talking there.
Grosnick to Nashville. He wins a Calder Cup. Bring him in, baby. Starter.
Yeah, maybe so. But, yeah, like, you know, Willie keeps talking about, like, who's your starter next year if you move on from Saros. Like, go find a starter. Like, it's 1 year.
Yeah.
But it's not some long-term plan. It would be, in a perfect world next season, whoever you got. I threw out the other day Laurent Brossois from Winnipeg, who has been very good as their backup goalie.
That was a good pull by you in that discussion.
And you could go with that and then have Askarov be the backup. And is that going to be as good of a goaltending situation as you're in right now? Probably not. But, like, in my world, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay if I'm the Predators taking maybe a little bit of a step back next year if that means that you find your goaltender of the future moving forward here. Like, I don't think Willie has much time for that, which is fine. Like, if you don't want to take a step back next year, I get it.
I mean, Willie's got to call every game, so
yeah. You know,
there's a little different experience.
Yeah,
there,
like, I get it.
If you're him.
I get it. Like, you know, you want, in a perfect world, you want to keep building on this year. I just have my doubts about how well you can do that given the age of this roster right now.
It just if the list of priorities includes, and it's high on the list, is like you can't take a step back, you have to keep winning next year, is what can you do next year? If that's always your mindset, I think sometimes you miss out on an opportunity to get quite a bit better, which again would be if Askarov works out,
yeah.
If you can have that situation, if he can be ready. There's a lot of ifs as a part of it, for sure. Again, it's a risk without question. But if those things work out for you, then that's more flexibility to address what badly needs to be addressed. I get the argument that Willie has made to us in these endless text threads. I mean, I get the point of, if you have a great player,
yeah,
whatever the great, wherever the great player is, and you have that great player, lock up the great player. I get that idea. I don't think this is some huge. I mean, this is a good debate because it's close. It's not. There's no simple, obvious answer to me. Except, I just think that the worst possibility is having both of them and having them both around and not getting some kind of assets out of one of them, just because you are so lacking in other areas.
Well, and here's the thing that I think sometimes gets lost in this discussion. It's about what is the best path to winning a championship, right? If you feel like the best path to winning a championship is signing UC Saros, if you're Barry Trotz, then okay, do that. If you feel like, but I think asking the question of, like, would it be a better path? Like, would you be better off in terms of your pursuit of winning a championship and being a perennial threat to win a championship by going a different route and allocating your money elsewhere and hoping that the first-round pick that you have in goalie eventually turns into the player that you think he's going to be? And I almost have to brace myself for what I'm about to say because people are going to run with it. And just hear me out. Everybody would agree, I would think, that Pekka was worth the seven-year, $7 million per year contract, right? Like, he's the best player in franchise history. He was worth it. Like, he played really well throughout that stretch. How many times during that stretch did the Predators get past the second round of the playoffs? One time.
We know that they've only done it once ever, so.
They got past it one time.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's Pecorine's fault. I'm not saying that it was a mistake to sign him to a contract. What I am saying is go back and look at some of those teams. Not very much offensive talent on some of those teams. They did not do a great job always of surrounding him with players that could help out in some of those situations. And I heard Willie say yesterday, like, back in 2016, 2017, 2018, like the golden age of the Predators here, those teams had everything. They did not have everything. They did not have elite forwards, which has been the story of this franchise. Philip Forsberg was a good player then. He was not an elite player. Ryan Johansson was not an elite player. Victor Arvidsson was not an elite player. They did not have elite forwards back then. So I'm just saying, like, everybody would agree.
But then the counter to that is, and they still won the President's Trophy and got to the Stanley Cup Final.
Exactly. And then they got to a series against Winnipeg where they could have used probably an elite forward, right? Like, they didn't have it. So I'm just saying, everybody would agree signing Pecorine was a good move, and it worked out well. And Saros could be the same thing. But overall, with your team success, is it the best path? Like, there's a scenario where Saros is worth the money that you pay him, but it also does not lead to team success. It does not lead to winning a championship, and that is the goal.
Yeah, well, I think there's still obviously big differences, right? I mean, it was a no-brainer at the time to sign Pecorine, right?
For sure.
And like you said, it did work out.
There's nobody else coming up either.
And you did get within two wins of winning the Cup. So you're right. They didn't have the elite. I mean, I think you could use that and say, see, when you have probably the best decor in the league and you have a goalie playing like that, and you did, Johansson, as we've talked about, that was the absolute peak of his career. So you felt like you had a number one center for a couple of years there, right? Like, really,
In that playoff run, yes.
And even, I mean, I don't remember his 55, numbers. 55,
60 points. It's not a number one center.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's matchup-wise in the playoffs, he was doing the job.
Yeah, he played great in the playoffs.
I mean, you could, at least that whole thing came together to a team that was good enough to win it. The
correct.
Question here is, okay, where's that? You know, how do you get there?
Again, that's what I'm saying. Like, we all agree Pekka-Rinne was worth the money, worth the contract. The fact of the matter is, during that entire run, they got past the second round of playoffs one time. So, like, if you're Barry Trotz, you're looking to say, how can we get past the second round in the next 10 years? Like, four times.
Sure.
Like, that would be the goal, right?
And I would not say abandoning goalie is the way to do it. The way to do it is to make better choices than this organization has at forward.
Correct.
Historically.
And
how do you do that?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Preds coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We'll be joined by Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Get her thoughts on the UC Soros situation. The Titans. I feel like we need to be like a support group for Caroline. She just gets attacked all day on her show about the UC Soros thing. We're with her.
Yeah.
We're Team Caroline.
We stand with Caroline and, I guess, Jared. But also, at least yesterday, they took a break from them ganging up on her on Soros for D-Mace to
go after you.
Lump me with Jared.
A 9-minute run.
Thank you. See, it always works. It always works.
James on the text line brings up, and I'm glad he brought this up because there's something I want to hit on this. I'm not understanding why everybody thinks that it needs to be one or the other. Bring up Askarov, extend Soros, and let him be a backup for a year or two until they feel he's ready. How long was Soros Pekka's backup? We've gone through the difference.
We haven't discussed this thing at all.
We've gone through the difference between the backup situations. Like, there's a difference between Soros being the backup when Pekka's 34 and nearing the end of his career than Soros at age 29.
And Soros was also not a massive prospect. He turned into a hell of a player.
Yes, there's that.
Askarov comes with a different thing from the start.
Well, the other part of this that it just feels like nobody's talking about, let's say they do that. Let's say they bring up Askarov and they feel like, oh, he's ready. Like they get a year or two down the road with him in the backup and they say, all right, he's ready. Okay, so what are you doing with Soros? At that point, he's got 6 or 7 years left on his deal. And everybody said, well, you could just trade Soros then. How many teams do you think are lining up to take on a 7-year contract for a goalie paying $8 million a year that's 31 years old? Like, do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think you're getting for that?
I mean, Now, granted,
I think we're doing a little bit presumptuous to assume that people will just be lining up to trade for UC Soros 2 years into the deal.
Yeah. Now, right now, if they trade for UC Soros, then they are still signing him to a deal like that, right? So, I guess there's not a huge difference other than
well the next 2 years,
right? Well, there's that for sure.
People just seem to discount that as a possibility. He's literally coming off his worst year as a pro right now. So what if that's what he is the next 2 years, where he's good but not great? Nobody's taking that contract if that happens.
I'm with you. You know, right now, you can look at this year with a new system and how much better and more Soros-like he was in the second half. And I think he was mostly very good in the playoffs. He still ends up with a 900, you know, in the first round, which isn't anything to write home about. But you could take that and say, okay, well, he always slow starts, but last year was a special situation, so he's still the same player. You look at the overall numbers, like you said, it's his worst year as a pro. And I'll say it until he proves me wrong. And again, I'm not saying I think this is happening for sure, but I do think that it's possible that his style doesn't go as deep into his 30s as some other goalies who are bigger. I may be wrong, but I don't think you can discount that because he is – He's a twitchy athlete who needs to be to compensate
for
the
lack of size. He's incredibly explosive.
Yeah.
He's incredibly explosive, which is what makes him great, right?
Like yeah. So at 33, is he still that? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm sure he's going to do everything possible. Again, he's like Willie has said, You can't ask for a better pro or someone who, you know, someone who's going to do all the right things. And, you know, we think back to like Pecorine in his last few years talking about he was, whatever, eating kale instead of ice cream and all this stuff. I'm sure Soros will follow the same path. But it is, when you're that little, then you have to be explosive.
You have to be explosive. And maybe he will be. Like, look.
Sure.
There is, and I've tried to make this clear from the start. And again, I said this the other day, I almost feel bad with how this discussion has played out because it kind of sounds like the more you get into it,
the more
just like hating on UC Soros. There's absolutely a scenario where the Predators sign UC Soros to an 8-year contract and it works out great. Like he plays great, maybe not for all 8 of them, but for 6. Like he's really, really good.
Yeah, that's fine.
And that you take that. So there's that. Like I'm not saying that if the Predators choose to go that route, which, by the way, as we get through all this, that's probably the route they're going. Like, I think Barry Trotz has essentially told you that. Like, he's going to try to sign UC Soros to a contract extension. We'll see whether or not he's able to get it done. But that's probably the route that this thing is going to end up taking here. Like, there's definitely a scenario where he plays great for the next 4, 5, 6 years, and they find a way to build a roster around him and maybe they get a chance to make a couple of deep playoff runs. Like, that could happen. I'm not discounting that possibility. The only thing I've been saying the whole time is, what is the best path to a championship? And I'm not convinced that the best path to a championship is locking in a goalie for 8 years at $8 million per year, given where this team is right now with their roster. That's just me.
I'm with you.
And that's what I've tried to make clear the whole time. And I think for some people it's turned into a, oh, Robbie hates UC Soros type thing, and that's not the case at all.
Yeah. He's your Mariota. He's your hockey Mariota.
He is, yes.
So, Wes in Clarksville, Sean, this comes up every time. Wes, why are NHL contracts so long? 4 years should be the max. Sean, why are y'all locked into giving Soros 8 years? Pay him 9 for 3.
Guys, he's not signing that contract. We have to live in reality in this discussion.
These contracts are guaranteed. It's just, you can't think of the NFL mindset here. The NFL, you know, it's whatever your guaranteed money is, and then, you know, I mean, you can easily be cut after a year or two, whatever it is. These contracts, you cannot be. You can be bought out, but these are guaranteed contracts. So the agents, the players, they negotiate the max term. I mean, that's just what it is. And
if you offer him three, he'll be
a free agent next summer and he'll go for nothing. That's what will happen. So it's not reality. Someone asked about 5.
He's going to get either a 7-year deal on the open market or a 7 or 8 year deal with the Predators. That's what it is.
That's it. So, you know, and that's, again, it's guaranteed. They're getting the money for sure. So that's the good thing for the players. Obviously, it's not nearly the level of money in the NFL. It's just a totally different situation with a hard cap and an existing, real, actual soft cap in the NFL.
Well, and this is, you know, and Willie's talked about this too. Like, when you have top players that reach free agency, this is what they get. They get the max deal, right? Like, it's you can get 7 years on the open market from a team that's not yours, or if you re-sign with your team, it could be a max of 8. Now, one thing I will say, Connor Hellebuck re-signed with the Jets, and it was only a 7. So, like, if you're the Predators, could you get him to sign a 7? Maybe. I'll leave open the door for that. Anything below that, I don't think is reality in this conversation. If so, then it's a heck of a job by Barry Trotz to get that done, because I just don't see where that's a realistic scenario.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're Soros' agent, then okay, 7, okay, so 8.25.
Right, it'd be more
expensive. For example,
yeah.
You know, a little bit more money and the less term, but, you know, it's going to be probably the same number in total, which, again, is guaranteed money that he's going to get.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the UC Soros discussion, her thoughts on the Titans as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.